she'd always found him and brought him home. She looked at the shako in her hands. There had been helmets, but since they all had arrow holes or gaping rips in them, the squad had wordlessly gone for the softer hats. You'd die anyway, and at least you wouldn't have a headache. The shako's badge showed the regimental symbol of a flaming cheese. Maybe one day she'd find out why. Polly put it on, picked up a pack and a small bag of laundry, and stepped out into the night. The moon was gone. The clouds had come back. She was drenched by the time she'd crossed the square. The rain was coming horizontally. She shoved open the inn door and saw, by the light of one guttering candle, chaos. Clothing was strewn across the flagstones. Cupboards were hanging open. Jackram was coming down the stairs, cutlass in one hand, lantern in the other. "Oh, it's you, Perks," he said. "They've cleaned out the place and buggered off, even Molly. I heard 'em go. Pushing a cart by the sound of it. What are you doing here?"
"Batman, Sarge," said Polly, shaking water off her hat.
"Oh, yeah, right. Go and wake him up, then. He's snoring like a sawmill. I hope to hell the boat's still there."
"Why'd they bug Scarper, Sarge?" said Polly, and thought,
"Sugar. If it comes to it, I don't swear either." But the sergeant didn't appear to notice. He gave her what is known as an old-fashioned look. This one had dinosaurs in it. "Got wind of something, I don't doubt," he said. "Of course, we're winning the war, you know," he said.
"Ah. Oh, and we're not going to be invaded at all, I expect," said Polly, with equally exaggerated care.
"Quite right. I detest those treacherous devils who'd have us believe that a vast army is about to sweep right across the country any day now," said Jackram.
No sign of Corporal Strappy, Sarge?"
"No, but I haven't turned over every stone yet."
"Shh!"
Polly froze and strained to listen. There were hoofbeats getting louder as they approached, and changing from thuds into the ringing sound of horseshoes on cobbles. "Cavalry patrol," Jackram whispered, putting the lantern down on the bar. "Six or seven horses."
"Ours?"
"I bleed in doubt it." The clattering slowed and came to a stop outside. "Keep 'em talking," said Jackram, reaching down and sliding the door's bolt across. He turned and headed toward the rear of the inn.
"What? What about?" whispered Polly. "Sarge?"
Jackram had vanished. Polly heard murmuring outside the door, followed by a couple of sharp knocks. She threw off her jacket. She wrenched the shako off her head and tossed it behind the bar. Now she wasn't a soldier, at least. And as the door was shaken against the bolt, she saw something white lying in the debris. It was a terrible temptation. The door burst open at the second blow, but the soldiers didn't immediately enter. Lying under the bar, struggling to put the petticoat on over rolled-up trousers, Polly tried to make sense of the sounds. As far as she could tell from the rustles and thuds, anyone waiting inside the doorway with ambush in mind would have been briefly and terminally sorry. She tried to count the invaders. It sounded as though there were at least three. In the tense silence, the sound of a voice speaking in normal tones came as a shock.
"We heard the bolt slide across. That means you're in here somewhere. Make it easy on yourself. We don't want to have to come and find you."
"I don't want you to either," Polly thought. "I'm not a soldier. Go away." Then the next thought was, "What do you mean you're not a soldier? You took the shilling and kissed the picture, didn't you?" And suddenly, an arm had reached over the bar and grabbed her. At least she didn't have to act.
"Oh, no, please, sir, don't hurt me. I just got frightened, please." But inside, there was a certain sockness that felt ashamed and wanted to kick out.
"Ye gods, what are you?"
said the cavalryman, pulling her upright and looking at her as if she was some kind of exhibit.
"Polly, sir, barmaid, sir, only they cleared out and left me."
"Keep the noise down, girl."
Polly nodded. The last thing she needed now was Blouse to run down the stairs with his sabre and fencing for beginners.
"Yes, sir," she squeaked.
"Barmaid, eh? 3 pints of what you'd probably call your finest ale, then."
That, at least, could happen on automatic. She'd seen the mugs under the bar, and the barrels were behind her. The beer was thin and sharp, but probably wouldn't dissolve a penny. The cavalryman watched her closely as she filled the mugs.
"What happened to your hair?" he said.
Polly had been ready for this.
"Oh, sir, they cut it off, sir, because I smiled at a Slovenian trooper, sir."
"Here?"
"In Drock, sir."
It was a town much nearer the border.
"And me mam said it was shaming to the family, and I got sent here, sir."
Her hands shook as she put the mugs on the bar, and she was hardly exaggerating. Hardly, but a bit nevertheless. You're acting like a girl, she thought. Keep it up.